disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Amen, amen, I say to you, assuredly, or verily, verily," whatever Bible you have, it's the Greek word amen, "amen, amen, lego human, that not one stone will be left here upon another that'll not be thrown down." Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, here come the questions. Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming? Actually, here's a third one now. And what will be the sign of the end of the age? Three questions. But the first question is not answered here, which has caused a world of confusion in the Presbyterian camp. The first question, when will one stone not be left upon another, is fulfilled in the Gospel of Luke only, not here. Luke chapter 21, verse 20. If you want to keep a finger here, we're going to come back here. Luke chapter 21, verse 20, it says this. It says, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those that are in the midst of her depart. Let not those that are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things that are written may be fulfilled. Woe to those that are pregnant and those with nursing babies in those days. There will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword, and they'll be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. You see, that prophecy has already been fulfilled. That's already happened. The temple has already been destroyed, 70 AD. One stone has already not been left upon another. And the Jews have been scattered around the world. All that has already happened. And regarding Israel, if you could just press your thumb on Israel's current condition, keep reading, courtesy of the Son of God. He says, Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles, may I add, like it is today. Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles, next word, is until, meaning it's temporary. What's happened to Israel, what's happening to Israel, it's temporary, not permanent. Jerusalem will be trodden underfoot by Gentiles until, then it says, the times or seasons of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Now the Apostle Paul says in Romans 11 that blindness in part has happened to Israel until. Notice again, what's happened to Israel is temporary, not permanent. God's not done with the nation of Israel. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come. Meaning, God has got two distinct plans, and they both specify your end of days. Notice the pattern. It's temporary. Both of those verses. Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles is over. Like I showed you last week, the kingdom of heaven is not, God doesn't call last call. The kingdom of heaven has got a maximum capacity sign outside of it. And once the last Gentile takes the last seat, then God takes his, is there any dogs in here? God takes his gavel and goes, wham! And the door is shut. And that's it. He says it twice. This city is going to be trampled by Gentiles until. Until. Maybe your son or your daughter, someone takes this seat. This is what the kingdom of heaven looks like today. It's running out of chairs. It's got a maximum capacity sign. And the Holy Spirit's got me, Pastor Dan up here, First Baptist or wherever, the Assemblies of God, any denomination, the Catholic churches, all preaching the same thing. Once these chairs are taken, it's all over. What's happened to the nation of Israel? They're blind. God's given them a spirit of stupor. Where's that in the Bible? Romans 11:8. Until you tell someone else about Jesus and the last chair is taken. He's waiting on you. Maybe that's why I keep saying this to Darren. Maybe this is why Jesus says he doesn't know when he's coming back. Maybe because he's waiting on you to go tell someone about Jesus and take their rightful seat. God's got two distinct plans. They both specify your end of days. Your season's being done. And the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. Full is a number. Think of the word full. Think of a full tank of gas. Remember the old days when you can keep putting gas in there when it was full? And you would just smell like gasoline for the rest of the week. I can't get you back in this church for another 168 hours. If you want to be here for the Sunday service, I can't put 169 hours into this week. The week is full at 168. There's 168 hours to this week. You can't add anything to that. Blindness. In part, see, not every Jew, Paul believes, Peter believes, other Jews believe, blindness in part has happened to the nation of Israel until the fullness, until that number is hit, and then God shuts the door. Where's that in the Bible? Luke 13:24, Matthew chapter 25, verse 13. Even back in Genesis, God shut the door. Genesis chapter 7, verse 16. I don't make this stuff up. Today is the day to take your seat if you haven't taken it yet. Because Jesus is coming back soon, and he's going to show all that to us by signs. Blindness has happened to Israel until the last Gentile comes to the faith. And that age-old number, known only to God, is hit like a heavenly game of bingo. For the day is going to come where Jesus is going to cry out, bingo! I've got bingo. That's it. Your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife has come to the faith, and they're the last one. And then this is going to come true. Lord, I'm in Luke 13:24. Lord, are there few that'll be saved? And he answered with the word, what is it, Darren? Strive. It's the Greek word agonizo, where our word agonize comes from. It's the same word used of Jesus when he was sweating great drops of blood. And it says he agonized in prayer in the garden the night before he died. That's the mindset and the attitude he wants you to have to get into the kingdom. Agonize, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will try to get in. You see, that's it. There's no last call in the kingdom. Once that seat is taken, many will try to get in. It's just like the ark. If you find the ark today, you know what you'll find on the outside of it? Scratch marks. Like someone they buried alive inside of a coffin. They open it up later, and they got all those scratch marks on the inside of it. That's what they find on the outside of the ark when they find it. Because once you saw the rain, then it was too late. You got to have faith today when you can't see. Once you see Jesus, it's too late. Once you see him, or once you die, it's too late. You got to believe in him today when you don't see him. Jesus said, blessed are all those that don't see and yet believe. Once you see him, it's too late. Once you die, oh, I believe now. Once that last chair is taken, then it's too late. This is why he says, agonize. It's not that it's hard to get in. It's the time the door is going to be open is why it's hard. All you have to do is believe. You can believe and go in without burning a calorie. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. With the heart, one believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made, Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's my Lord. Paul says, I'm worried you've been corrupted by the simplicity that is in Christ. It's easy to get your name in for you. But the time is coming soon when the last chair is going to be taken. And as he says here, many will try to get in and will not be able. Luke 13, 25, once the master of the house has risen up and once the master of the house, you see, once he's risen up and what's he's, that's it. You're either on the inside of this ark or you're out here scratching. Once this door is shut, that's it. I don't care how many movies you've seen on TV. Once that door is shut, listen to what Jesus says. Once the master of the house has risen up and shuts the door, and then you begin to stand outside and knock, saying, I'm ready now. All right, quote, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say, I do not know you. Where you are from? Then you will begin to say, but we ate and drank in your presence. You taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There'll be weeping and gnashing or grinding of teeth. When you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets inside that door there, and you on the outside, you can't get in. Because you didn't listen to the pastor when he told you, take the last chair, call on the name of the Lord. The Bible says many are going to try to get in and will not be able. Just like many tried to get into the ark. Genesis 7:16, it says God shut the door on the ark. So Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot until the last of the Gentiles takes their seat. And now Jesus is going to give us some signs in this chapter so that you will know his return is near. And that this number is getting close to being reached and that this door is about to be shut. Now with the signs is the absolute dire warning that if you miss this, if you miss Jesus' return, all is lost. If you are not inside the kingdom when the door is shut, if you are not inside the kingdom when the door is shut, you are lost. There's no second train. There's one train. And you got to enter in now. In another place, Jesus says, narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life. And there are so few that find it. We're considering two things. Number one, the signs. Number two, the urgency, that at any moment the times of the Gentiles will be complete. And once that is, again, it's like the ark. Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The overarching theme over all of this is his first warning given in verse 4. Again, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age. And Jesus answered and said, take heed that no one deceives you. Again, to think that something is something. 16 speed. To think that something is something, while something is actually something else. To think that something, the coronavirus, AIDS, swine flu, bird flu, is something, just one of those things, as the world turns, while something, that is those things, is actually something else. And that's a sign that Jesus is coming back soon. You're deceived if you think anything else other than that. That's what he wants you to take from the signs that are all around us. To be deceived is to be tricked. It's to be misled. It's to fall for something that was a lie. Something that if you knew, you wouldn't have fallen for it. Let's turn back to Genesis chapter 3, if you would, starting in verse 1. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, hath God indeed said, you will not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not die. God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. All right, notice the first sin introduces some new emotions. Guilt. Shame. They didn't exist prior to this. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. You know, I'll be willing to bet that that's number three trait, lying. I think he's lying to him. What do you think? I was afraid because I was naked. I don't buy that. I think you didn't want to see God. Because you are a sinner now. And you felt all of a sudden your conscience is playing with you. All of a sudden you feel convicted of sin now. And not because you're naked. Haven't you ever sinned before and you want to run away from God? Or church is the last place you want to go to? It's human nature on the inside of you. That's why when things happen to you, this is the best place to be. Because this is where you can get right with God.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study and Sunday mornings for service at 10:30 a.m. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. I see the joy of the dancers and all the healing they bring. Love is a beautiful thing. It takes a heart and lets it sing. Love changes everything. It is
city needs. So send your power on our knees. Let every nation take your hand and run into the promised land. So all the sons and daughters rise, we're shining.
You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
With good news for today from Baptist Press, I'm Brandon Porter. Read your Bible. Listen well. Don't sacrifice today's moment for tomorrow's plan. When asked three questions about lessons they've learned over the years, a group of senior adults from Graceland Baptist Church in New Albany, Indiana, gave responses that would probably reflect those of their peers around the country. Our Scott Barkley asked them, "What habit has been most important for you in your walk with Christ?" "Lots of reading the Bible and books about the Bible," said Juanita Leffler. She's 92. What other bits of advice would you give younger people? It's staggering to consider the cultural and technological changes over the last 90 years, they said. Still, there are bits of advice respondents consider timeless. Love others well and see each person as created by God with gifts to open. That's what Liz Geisen said. Instead of already forming your response in your head when someone is talking, she went on to encourage others to take time to actually listen. You can read about the full conversation at our website, Baptist Press. The Southern Baptist Theological Seminary is now offering a fully Spanish online doctorate degree with cohorts starting once a year. Southern Provost Paul Aiken said the new degree will build upon the success of Southern's online Hispanic program, which has equipped ministers across the Spanish-speaking world since 2016. Southern has a history of leading efforts in Spanish theological education and is one of the few institutions accredited by the Association of Theological Schools approved to offer master's degrees fully in Spanish.
Good news for today is made possible through our friends at the Voice of the Martyrs, a nonprofit organization that serves persecuted Christians around the world. Founded in 1967 by Richard and Sabina Wormbrand, VOM is dedicated to inspiring believers to deepen their commitment to Christ and to fulfill His great commission, no matter the cost. Find out more and sign